Well, amen, amen, and amen, amen. Well, guys, do you know where we're going to be today? What? Book of Mark, amen. And we are moving through it, and this week we had planned to cover verses 26 through 34, and I got to work on it this week, and I could only get to 29. So we may have to do a continuation of this, which is okay. All right? Because, you know, sometimes when we get into God's Word and we start spending time with it, we don't want to overplan. Anybody know what I'm talking about? We want to let God have His way. So this morning, we're just going to cover, can you believe it, just a few verses. But there's so much content in Mark chapter 4, verses 26 through 29, that we just can't overlook it. And I threw Charlie's plans off. I'm sorry, Charlie, but that's the way it works sometimes. Guys, I just want to say a couple things real quickly before we dive into God's Word. And I just want to thank you, our church, and we've got so many that are missing today because it is a holiday, and I hope they're watching, but we want to thank you for your love and your support. You know, the last couple months have been pretty hard, haven't they, Charlie? You know, Rebecca lost her father, my father-in-law, last month, which was very hard. We knew that was coming. You rallied behind us, and let me just tell you something that really was just so moving to me. This humming is going to drive me nuts. Hold on one second. Let's see if that works. Yes, there it is. Subwoofer is way too hot. That's what it was. Glory Honolulu. I'm going there one day. So I just want to thank you all because, you know, one thing that was so meaningful to Rebecca and I, and I'm going to skip ahead in just a moment so you're sure I'm going with this, was when the funeral was in Greensboro, and when we walked in to prepare for the funeral and I was officiating, we got there early, and a lot of our church family was already there waiting to receive us. And what a blessing it was just to walk in and see people that you love who are your family. You are my family. There with us, to be with us, to drive almost 4 hours or 4.5 hours to attend a funeral. It was meaningful to us. And then last week, obviously, we had a horrible tragedy that occurred in Charlie's family. And this week, we have rallied, we have prayed. He hasn't been here, so we couldn't do a whole lot because he went to go be with his sister. But the next several weeks and even months are going to be very difficult. And what I want you to do is I want you to continue what you're doing. Continue blessing your family, you know. Yes, we are your pastors, but at the end of the day, we're your family. You're part of our family. And what a blessing it is to have you as our church family. Can I just say that for everybody on our behalf, Charlie? Because this week, it's just been wonderful. You know, Charlie reached out to me, and he's just so appreciative of all the prayer. He could feel it. And not only that, but you allow us the freedom to do what we are able to do, to serve God in different capacities, but also be able to deal with things like this when they come up. And so can I just say a heartfelt thank you for Charlie and I and our families? Thank you. We love you guys. And that's why I think this church family is just so awesome. You know, for since we came here and began revitalizing that little church that today is Island Church many years ago, we wanted to create a DNA where we deconstructed church, where it became so formal and so ceremonial, to where it became what it was supposed to be, God's family. And it has become that and so much more. And so I say thank you to everyone. Thank you. We love you guys so very much. And I hope that we're as much of a blessing to you as you are to us. No one said anything. Okay. Anyway, I'm kidding. All right, guys. But thank you, really. I mean that. And Charlie, I hope you don't mind me saying that for us as pastors here. What a blessing. So let's go ahead and start unpacking this morning in Mark chapter 4, starting at verse 26. We've been going through the parables for the last several weeks. Charlie brought a wonderful message that if you have not seen or heard it, you can go to our Facebook or YouTube channel and watch that sermon, powerful, dealing with the parable of the sower. Last week, I covered the parable of the lamp, and today, we're going to talk about the parable of growing seed. And I think this is going to be a very different perspective than we think it will be. So let's go ahead and dive into God's Word. Can we do that? Mark chapter 4, let's start at verse 26. Jesus also said, "The kingdom of God is like a farmer who scatters seed on the ground." Everybody, take your hand, do it with me, and let's scatter some seed. Everybody do that. We're interactive here, okay? And he says, night and day, while he sleeps or awake, catch this, the seed sprouts and grows, but he does not understand how it happens. The earth produces the crop on its own. It's amazing how that works. Right, Robert? You know all about that, don't you? First, a leaf blade pushes through, then the heads of wheat are formed, and finally, the grain ripens. And as soon as the grain is ready, the farmer comes and harvests it with a sickle, for the harvest time has come. You know, the parable, we're going to pray in just a moment, but I want to set this up. The parable of growing seed, if you didn't know this, is only found in the Gospel of Mark. It's only found there. And Mark, what he's doing is he lays out for us, those of us that are hearers, those of us that are reading along with this, that this parable right here was told in the context of the other parables that we've been covering over the last several weeks. And in fact, in a well-known passage in Isaiah, and it was actually used this morning as part of our scripture-led prayer, okay, the Lord spoke through the prophet Isaiah about the power and, listen, the effectiveness of his word to accomplish his intended purposes. And it says here in Isaiah, we'll just review that really quickly, starting at verse 6 in chapter 55. It says, seek the Lord, listen to this, while you can. Call on him now while he is near. Let the wicked change their ways and banish the very thought of doing wrong. Let them turn to the Lord that he may have mercy on them. Run to the Father. That's why we sang the song this morning. Yes, turn to our God, for he will forgive generously. I love that. He's not holding back on you. He goes on to say in verse 8, he says, my thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything that you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than yours, and my thoughts higher than yours. The rain and the snow come down from the heavens, and they stay on the ground to water the earth. They cause the grain to grow, produce seed for the farmer and bread for the hungry. It is, listen to this, the same way with the word. I send it out, and it always produces fruit. It will accomplish all the Lord says I want, and it will prosper everywhere I send it. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we ask you this morning, Lord God, oh, take this humble word, Lord, that I'm about to give, and Lord, let it just ring in our ears, challenge our hearts and our minds, Lord, to draw in closer to you, to be fruitful for the kingdom of God. This morning, Lord, I pray, Lord, as always, Lord, that you would take these words and make them your own. May they be my lips, but your words, Lord God, as you choose. May Jesus, who lives in me, come out today so that we would hear exactly what you want to be said. May I become less so that you become more, Lord God. And I pray this morning that everyone would take this word and test it against your word, Lord God, what I'm sharing this morning, so that we would dive deeper into you and you would give us greater understanding. And we pray those things in the name of Jesus, and we all agreed and we said, amen. You know, today we're going to see this parable of growing the seed. It presupposes everything, the very thing that the Word of God always accomplishes for his purposes. It's just going to lay it all out for us. What you're going to see in this parable is that Jesus demonstrates for us that it is, listen to me, the Word of God that causes the growth of the kingdom of God until he returns. And I think what's going to happen this morning as we dive in through this Word is you're going to see that as we look closely at this parable, there's going to be two big ideas that we're going to hear this morning. The first one is this. We're going to talk about the parable's background. We're going to talk about the parable's background so we can set it up. You can see where it's going. So we may be moving through the scriptures a little bit today, but they're all building on this very passage, okay? The second big idea that we're going to have is the parable's message. What is the parable trying to tell us? What is Jesus saying to us in this parable? Because we want to understand that clearly, don't we? Yes? Say yes? Yes, all right. So as we go through our time this morning, we're also going to see how the teaching of this parable, it applies to us. And you know why? Because Charlie and I love application of God's word in our lives. Amen? I always tell you, you know, when you hear this, you just can't go pack it away. You've got to actually apply it to your life. And if you don't, then God's word is not doing anything for you, okay? So application is critical. So let's talk about the parable's background so that we can see where God is taking us this morning. That parable that we're looking at right here, the background was the parable of the sower that Charlie shared with us 2 weeks ago. He told the crowds, and if you remember, just for a quick review, this is what he said. He said, once again, this is verse 1. He said, once again, of chapter 4, Jesus began teaching by the lakeshore. A very large crowd soon gathered around him, so he got into the boat. And then he sat in the boat while all the people remained on the shore. Smart guy. He taught them by telling many stories in the form of parables such as this. Listen, a farmer went out to plant some seed, and as he scattered across the field, some seed fell on the footpath, and the birds came up, they ate it. Other seed fell among the thorns that grew up and choked it out, the tender plants, so that they could produce no grain. And still other seed fell on fertile soil, and they sprouted, they grew, and they produced a crop that was 30, 60, even 100 times as much as had been planted. And then he said, anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. And if you recall, Jesus then pulls the disciples aside and he provides an explanation for them. And we see that explanation in verses 10 through 20. We're not going to read it because we already did that 2 weeks ago. And after that parable, he used this analogy that we talked about last week of a lampstand to produce this idea of us being light to the world. Jesus is light to the world. Because let me just say one thing, sidebar. You know what the Holy Spirit does in you? You know what the Holy Spirit's job is in this world? It's to cast the light on Jesus. And if the Holy Spirit is on us, then we are being light. We're casting Jesus out as light to the world around us. You got it? That's the job of the Holy Spirit within us, okay? All right, so we talked about that last week, about being light to the world. And then we also talked about a warning of how we should listen to the Word of God. You remember that? You remember that? Okay, just making sure. All right. It's been a week, Paul. I forgot. And I believe, as I mentioned last week, that the parable of the sower and the parable of the lampstand, if you recall, they're connected. They're connected. Because we've got to understand one so that we can understand the other. Remember that? But then we come to this parable of growing seed, and something's different. Something's very different. You see, we could hear this parable of growing the seed, and we connected with the other ones. And what happens is we think of the parable of the sower, okay, I'm scattering seed, the lampstand, I'm being light of the world. And what happens is if we're not careful, we understand that, but then we get a wrong idea behind it. And I believe this is one of those messages that I'm going to share with you this morning, that it is important, hear me, how you hear it. Like we talked about last week. For example, John MacArthur, a theologian, he wrote this. He said, only Mark records this parable which complements the parable of the sower by explaining in more depth and the result of spiritual growth and accomplished in good soil. The spiritual growth accomplished in good soil. And then we think that this point, it can be reinforced by what we observe, these similarities between the parable of the sower and this sower, and this one, the growing seed, because obviously sower, seed, kind of they go hand in hand, don't they? Think about it this way. In both parables, there's this metaphor of seed being thrown into the ground. In both parables, the seed is sown, but in both parables, that seed must be seen as what? The Word of God, okay? Or it could be the preaching of the gospel, because this is the way that Jesus taught that the kingdom of God was going to be advanced in the world, was the Word of God. Make note of that. Hold that in your brain for just a second. Jesus explicitly stated in his explanation of the sower that the sower sows the Word. See that in verse 14 of that same chapter. And so when we get that, it's easy to see then why so many commentators, other theologians, arrive at the conclusion that was reached by John MacArthur by that quote we just looked at just a few minutes ago. And I agree that we've got to see the seed that is sown as the Word of God. Everybody agree with that? Say, yeah. I do, right? But I also think that's best to see the parable of the growing seed as being paired with the parable of the mustard seed, which we're going to go into more detail next week if Charlie will just humor me on that, okay? Which follows after this parable rather than the one that comes before it or the two that come before it. And I think that for several reasons. Several reasons? You have several reasons, Paul? Yeah, I do. Thank you for asking. Reason number one.
Although the parable of the sower, in this context, the parable of the growing seed does not follow after it, does it? We have the parable of the sower, then we have the lampstand, and then we have this one. So they're not in sequential order. Okay? That's important. Not only is there an explanation of the parable of the sower in the following context of the scriptures, but there's more teaching about the care that must be taken in listening to Jesus' teaching. Number two, second reason is the context that immediately follows this parable, the mustard seed. Again, I'm going to cover that next week. This is what Mark says in verse 33. He said, Jesus used many similar stories and illustrations to teach the people as much as they could understand. In fact, in his public ministry, he never taught without parables, but afterward, when he was alone with his disciples, he explained everything to them. You know what that means? That after Jesus spoke these parables, he would privately explain it to his disciples. And as the result of that, because he'd explain it, there was more parables being taught in his public ministry. This also includes the parable of the growing of the seed, the parable of the mustard seed that we're going to cover today and next week. The parable is not, listen, then, given simply to complement the parable of the sower that we went over 2 weeks ago. It's not. You see, because I think looking at this passage is very clear when you look at the background. Jesus is no longer explaining the parable of the sower to his disciples. This parable had a very different meaning. Third reason. Jesus made it clear that in his explanation of the parable of the sower, he was describing basically a reaction. What happens when I sow the seed here, here, or here, here? There's different reactions to his ministry. You either grow, you either get choked out, you either get excited, but then you fizzle out. You see where I'm going with that? There's a reaction to his ministry, to his teaching. But here we're going to see a very different meaning. And as we look closer at the parable of the growing seed, we're going to see something very different. Now we're going to see Jesus changing his focus to the growth, listen, to the kingdom of God. He's talking about the growth of the kingdom of God. And he's talking about that growth from that moment until his return at the harvest. So this leads us to the second big idea, the parable's message. Let's look at verse 26. Jesus also said, the kingdom of God is like a farmer who, let's do it together, everybody, scatters seed on the ground. Listen to this. Night and day, while he sleeps or awake, the seed sprouts and it grows, but he does not understand how it happens. And you see, what you're getting here is Jesus is describing the advancement of the kingdom of God by means of the analogy of a farmer sowing seed. This is so important. I got to be honest with you. When I was going through this text this week, you know, we have outlines that we work from. And I looked at it and I started reading the text. I started praying, spent time with God. And it was like, and I'm like, Lord, you're taking me a different direction. And this is where he's going with it. This is where he's going with it. You see, that seed represents the preaching of God's word. Who preaches God's word? Who? Don't you dare point at me. Or Charlie. Who preaches God's word? We all do. We all preach God's word.
So that seed represents the preaching of God's word, which Jesus has already identified as a means by which the kingdom of God is advanced in this world. Do you see it now? The farmer plants seed by taking God's word to others. That's what it says in verse 14. The farmer plants seed by taking God's word to who? Others. So here's the challenge for you and for me as the church, the God's family. It's great when we do it in here. It's great when we get together in a small group. But what are we doing to take God's word to others? What are we doing? Look, Jesus said this, after sowing the seed, the farmer will then sleep by night and rise by day. That's a different version. And you know what he's implying? He's implying that the farmer goes about his daily routine while the seed sprouts and it grows. This is so important because this fact right here, when you pair it with Jesus' statement where he said he himself does not know how it grows. You know what that does? That emphasizes this very important fact for you and for me. The farmer does not cause the seed to grow. The farmer does not cause the seed to grow. It happens in a way that he himself, listen, neither causes nor understands.
How'd that happen?
And in this way, you know what Jesus was doing? He was helping his disciples see this, and you need to see this too, particularly in the world that we live in today. I get so tired, man. Social media, I can't stand it. I'm going to tell you. I'm just going to be honest with you. If you're on social media, the only reason you should be on social media is so that you can post pics of your kids and how proud they are, or share the gospel, you know, or connect with friends that live across the country. But man, get off of it if you're going to banter. Get off of it. That's not what it's for. I hate it. And I hate Christians who get on there and post stuff about the world that's going, excuse me, to hell in a handbasket. And then they go, Jesus come, Jesus come. He's coming soon. How do you know? Well, yeah, of course, we got warning signs all around us. But that doesn't mean we put our head, okay, remember last week? We don't put our head under a pillow or under a stand or under a bed and wait. We are light to the world. Instead of doing that, we should be preaching the gospel. And you may think, just like these disciples, they were like, the kingdom didn't come like they wanted. We expect God to move like we want, and we get disappointed when he doesn't. They didn't, the kingdom did not come for them or the other Israelites the way that they expected. But it was, listen, nevertheless present and growing. Why is that important? Because you may not see things happening the way that you want, but that doesn't mean that the kingdom of God is not advancing in this world. Yeah, our nation is probably one of the most pagan nations next to Europe right now, but do you know that in countries like Iran and China, they are seeing hundreds of thousands of people come to know Jesus Christ? The gospel is being advanced. And just like those disciples, it is nevertheless present and growing despite their failures, despite our failures to understand how it happens. That's a good word right there, isn't it? That should encourage you. Now here's the application. And it's pretty obvious. As we continue to sow the seed, the word of God, the kingdom is growing in a way that we don't cause and we can't fully comprehend. That's why God is God. Amen? It's a mystery to us. We can't explain it. A fact that reminds me of the discussion that Jesus had with Nicodemus in John chapter 3. In verse 3 of that chapter, Jesus said this. He said, I tell you the truth, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus, well, what do you mean? I mean, how can an old man go back into his mother's womb and be born again? What are you talking about, Jesus? And Jesus replied and said, I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. Humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit of God gives birth to spiritual life. So don't be surprised when I say you must be born again. Here it is, the wind blows wherever it wants. Just as you can hear the wind but can't tell where it comes from or where it is going, so you can't explain how people are born of the Spirit. You know, the way
that the Spirit of God works in the kingdom. As individual people are born again, they may see and enter the kingdom. They're coming to see something they haven't known before. It's a mystery to us, isn't it? You know, I think about it. Stop and think about you for a moment. Your point of salvation, where you were. It's a mystery. Why would God choose me? You see where I'm going with that? It's amazing what God does. It's a mystery to us, but yet the seed sprouts and it grows. It's not something that we can truly understand, let alone make happen. And this is why this is emphasized in what Jesus says next in Mark chapter 4, verse 28. He said, the earth produces crop on its own. I put the Greek word in there. You see it? It looks like automatic, doesn't it? But it's automatus. Automatos. There it is. Thank you. First, a leaf blade pushes through, then the heads of the wheat are formed, and finally, the grain ripens. You know, the Greek translation goes something like this: for by itself, the earth yields crops. By itself. That word translated by itself, you see it right there, automatos, okay? Which refers to something that happens without visible reason. How did that happen? Has anybody had a moment like that in your life? You're like, well, how did that happen? Anybody? And you look around like, what? You know? How did that happen? Right? Well, it happens without visible reason. We don't understand it. And you know what? It's only used one other time in the New Testament. And you know where it's found? It's found in Luke's account of that nothing but short of miraculous release from prison for Paul in Acts chapter 15, or 12, I'm sorry. Let's read it together. Let's look at this. Let's see where that word fits in there. Starting at verse 5, it says, but while Peter was in prison, what does it say next? Look at that. The church, what? Prayed very earnestly for him. Man, do we pray enough? The night before Peter was to be placed on trial, he was asleep, fastened with two chains. Everybody put your hands together. Put your hands together between two soldiers. Put yourself real tight there, right there. Okay, imagine that right there. Okay, others stood guard at the prison gate. So there's people all around him watching. They're not going to let him out. And suddenly there was a bright light in the cell, and the angel of the Lord stood before Peter. And the angel struck him on the side to awaken him and said, quick, get up. And the chains fell off of his wrist. And then the angel told him, get dressed and put on your sandals. And he did. And now put on your coat and follow me. The angel ordered him to do so. So Peter left the cell following the angel. But at that time, he thought it was a vision. He thinks he's dreaming. Anybody have a dream that feels so vivid that you think it's just happening? And you wake up like, wow. Okay, well, that's Peter. But he's awake. And it says he didn't realize it was actually happening. Verse 10, they passed the first and the second guard post. They just walk right by. The guards are right there. They just walk right by them, okay? And they came to the iron gate leading to the city, and this opened up for them. Here it is, all by itself. Is that word again? Automatus. So they passed through the gate and started walking down the street, and the angel suddenly left him. We need to get this morning. Jesus uses that word, automatos, in the parable of the growing of seed. In a way, he's doing this to emphasize not only that we as humans, the sowers of the seed of God's word, we don't cause the growth, but the growth happens by the working of God. God does the work. So when Jesus says that the seed grows by itself, you know what he's doing? He is stating it doesn't grow by the means of human hands. We're not doing it. And it doesn't mean that no one is causing it to grow. God causes it to grow. God is causing it to grow. After all, he is talking about the growth of the kingdom of God. And here's another application for you. Again, pretty obvious, okay? That's if you're listening. Although we continue to sow the seed, the word of God, and we're doing that while we wait for him to come back, he's going to make another return, we have to understand, listen to me this morning, the success, the growth of the seed, and as a result, the growth of the kingdom of God in this world doesn't, this is going to hurt you, depend on us. Yes, we are to sow the word. Yes, we are to be lampstands in this world. But the growth of the kingdom of God does not depend on us. It doesn't. We may not even always perceive its growth initially. You know, sometimes, I'll give you an illustration. You know, we work really hard at what we do to make certain that we're preaching. You know, I try, God help me. And I know Charlie does too. Every week when we preach, I try to preach like I've only got one shot. I've only got one shot to reach somebody. You know what I'm talking about? Just one shot. And I remember 3 years ago, we had a family visit with us. Preached, had a great service, left, never came back. And I don't know about you, but that hurts. You know, please, if someone's come before and I offend you, forgive me. But I'm just going to say it, okay? Because, you know, we try to greet everybody, right? And then everyone goes, man, it was great service. We love it. We'll see you next week. Never see him again. Never. You know, we'll be back. Yeah, right. but listen, I'm being sarcastic. 3 years ago, a family came. We preached the word of God. We loved them while they were here. Never saw them again until a few months ago. And they came back. We had a conversation with them, and they said we needed to come back to church. And when we talked about it, everyone agreed we needed to go back to your church. And I said, why? And they said, because there was something special. It felt like God's family. And sometimes we don't perceive what God is doing, and it may take years, but the seed has been planted, and at some point, it'll grow. We have to trust God, but here's the thing. I don't do it. Charlie doesn't do it. You don't do it. God does it, and we've got to trust God. So there's no point getting upset. Oh, man, what happened? God is doing the work. We can't perceive it. And the Apostle Paul, man, who I reference so often, he made a very similar point. When he kind of rebuked the Corinthian church, the church at Corinth, for giving way too much credit to those who preach the word of God to them. Look what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5. It says, after all, who is Apollos? Who is Paul? We are only God's servants through whom you believe the good news. Each of us did the work the Lord gave us. I planted the seed in your hearts, and Apollos, well, he watered it, but he was God who made it grow. It's not important who does the planting or who does the watering. What's important is that God makes it grow. Look, I like what it says in the New King James Version. Listen, look at here, same version, different version. It says, who then is Paul? Who is Apollos? But ministers through whom you believed as the Lord gave to each one. See who's doing the work? I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. This is something we've got to remember. You know, as we sow the seed of the word of God, the seed of the kingdom, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with a lost and dying world, you know what? We've got to realize that true growth comes from God himself, not from our efforts. That doesn't mean we just sit on the couch and do nothing. Let me be very clear. We are called to do something, but we can't get a big head and go, man, look what I did. And Charlie's not back there going, man, look what I did. We don't do anything. We are just simply vessels that God is working through in this world to advance his kingdom. Amen? Some of you are like, I don't like that. Too bad. That's the way God works. Get over it. You see, we are simply his vessels. That's it. It's basically what you hear us say all the time. It's Jesus living his life through ours. That's what it is. You know, as we look back at verse 28, we see that Jesus goes on to describe the growth of the kingdom of God in this way. He says, first the blade, then the head, and after that, the full grain is ripened. You know, I really believe that looking at this text, Jesus, his intention here is to emphasize this. There is an appointed order for growth. It may not happen like you want it. It may not happen as fast as you want, But there is an appointed time. Just like, you know, when you pray a prayer and it doesn't go the way that you want, it doesn't mean that God's not sitting on heaven in heaven with his feet up going, ah. He is working in your life according to his purposes, not yours. Again, get over yourself. And I hate saying that, but this is true. I've had to learn to do that myself. There's an appointed time for the order of the growth, an order which, by the way, can't be changed. Can't be evaded. It can't be avoided because God is going to do what God wants to do when God is going to do it. It's a mystery. In other words, let me put it this way. God has his own plan for the growth of his kingdom, and he grows it in accordance with his purposes. I'm okay with that. I really am okay with that. Klein Snodgrass, bless his heart. What a name. An American theologian said this. Great quote, though. If you can look past his name. Jesus' ministry has inaugurated a sequence of action leading to the fullness of God's kingdom just as surely as sowing sets in play a spontaneous process leading to harvest. Even if hidden and unrecognized, the kingdom is present and will be fully revealed in God's time. The point is not merely that the kingdom is coming, for most Jews would assume that. The parable asserts that the kingdom process is already underway with Jesus' teaching and activity that the glorious revelation of the kingdom has its beginning in and is directly tied to what he is doing. What he, everybody point to heaven, what he is doing. Here's our application. This means that as we sow the seed of God's word, everybody do it. Come on. Throw it out. Throw it out. Throw in the seed through which the Lord is going to advance his kingdom. We must never think that, and this is important, we can't think we intervene to cause growth ourselves. And in particular, this is important, if we make the mistake of thinking that things are not progressing as they should and we ought to do something to help along, we just need to be obedient and just, everybody with me, let's do it together, sow seed, which is the word of God. That's the faithfulness he's looking for. You know, I've been around too many people that share the gospel in very uncomfortable ways. Have you ever experienced that before? I remember in college sitting in the library studying with our study group, and I can't remember what class it was for. And this young man came and sat down, and we're like, okay, who's this? And somebody says, man, this project is really hard. And that was his moment. He jumped in, he goes, oh, you don't know hard. I'm like, what? He goes, it's going to be really hard when the tribulation comes. Oh, yeah. And if you don't know Jesus, he started going into that scary tactic, and that's truth. That is true. But that doesn't win hearts and minds. Not always. What it does is it pushes them away, and they're like, what a crazy fanatic. And I stopped him. I literally stopped him that moment and said, hey, bro, that's not the way, man. He goes, what do you mean? I said, that is not the way. You know, the best way that you can do it is show these people Jesus by the way that you live your life. Live your life. Now, sometimes that requires words, okay? Because it's easy just to live and not use words, but we have to do both, right? And how do we do that? We sow the seed. The word, not fear. You know, we don't catch somebody in the store and go, do you know Jesus? That's real awkward. We, do it with me again, we sow the seed. We sow the seed. God has chosen that seed. And he's ordained that process of growth, listen, in his own power. So you can't force somebody, do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus? Have you accepted him? Can you say this prayer with me? Check, check, check. No, it's, you know what? We sow the seed and the results are up to God.
The results are up to God. You with me on that? That's how it works. We sow the seed. We must be faithful to play our part as his hands and his feet in this world, but we must never, never think that we ourselves can do what only he can accomplish through his power. Remember what we read in Isaiah 55? Through his power, his own plan. We must be patient and we must trust him just like the Apostle James did. Look at what he says in James chapter 5, verse 7. He says, "Dear brothers and sisters, be patient. Be patient as you wait for the Lord's return. Consider the farmer who patiently waits for the rain in the fall and in the spring. They eagerly look for the valuable harvest to ripen. You too must be patient. Take courage, for the coming of the Lord is near." Guys, we've got to be content to be faithful to do what God has required of us and to trust that he will accomplish his own purposes as we wait for him. And this leads us to the last part of this parable, which is verse 29. It says, "As soon as the grain is ready, the farmer comes and he harvests it with a sickle, for the harvest time has come." One day, he's coming back, and he's going to harvest that which is ripened. And here, what we see, this is so important, Jesus' focus is on the fundamental purpose for which the seed has been planted. That's why we got to plant seed. That's why we got to sow seed, because the harvest is going to come. The harvest is going to come. When Jesus says that the sower puts the sickle, he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come, he's actually using language that comes from a prophecy that we see in the book of Joel. This is what it says. I don't have the chapter in front of me. What is the chapter? Do we have that one, Joel? Book of Joel? Huh? Thank you, Joel 3. I was thinking 13. There's no 13. He says, "Come quickly, all you nations everywhere. Gather together in the valley. And now, O Lord, call out your warriors. Let the nations be called to arms. Let them march to the valley of Jehoshaphat. There I, the Lord, will sit to pronounce judgment on them all. Swing the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, try the grapes, for the wine press is full. The storage vats are overflowing with the wickedness of this people. Thousands upon thousands are waiting in the valley of decision. There, the Lord, the day of the Lord will soon arrive." That is why we've got to sow seed. This is a prophecy that refers to something that's yet to come, an event that accompanies, man, the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And a fact, man, that is made clear, by the way, this same passage from Joel is alluded to later in the book of Revelations. Look what it says in Revelations. It says, "Then I saw a white cloud, and seated on the cloud was someone like the Son of Man. He had a gold crown on his head and a sharp sickle in his hand. Then another angel came from the temple and shouted to the one sitting in the cloud, 'Swing the sickle, for the time of the harvest has come. The crop on earth is ripe.' So the one sitting on the cloud swung his sickle over the earth, and the whole earth was harvested. After that, another angel came from the temple in heaven, and he also had a sharp sickle. And then another angel who had power to destroy in fire came from the altar, and he shouted to the angel with a sharp sickle, 'Swing your sickle now to gather the cluster of grapes from the vines of earth, for they are ripe for judgment.' So the angel swung his sickle over the earth and loaded the grapes into the great winepress of God's wrath." Two sickles are going to be swung. And what that prophecy is referring to is the ultimate judgment of God that is going to come upon the wicked at that time of harvest. And however Jesus makes it so clear to us, we look at this, he makes it so clear, he expects at the same time there's going to be salvation of many people in light of the coming of Jesus. That's great. But who does the work? God. We sow the seed. This parable of the growing the seed is about the growth of the kingdom of God.
It's about the growth of the kingdom of God until he comes again. And you know what we do during this time? We must patiently, say it with me, patiently. Patiently, oh, that was weak, come on. Patiently, there we go, all right. We got to patiently sow the seed of the word of God in anticipation of the harvest. And this parable refers to this time between the first and the second coming of Jesus. Here's another application for us. I know you love application. This is one of the mysteries of the kingdom of God. It's one of the mysteries of the kingdom of God which Jesus intended that we should know about. Amen. He let us in on the secret. And this is why Matthew chapter 28, 19 and 20 is so important, the Great Commission. This is why it's so important, because we are commissioned to what? Do it with me. Sow the seed. Sow the seed to help people. Throw the seed so that they may be led to salvation. I want to close with this quote again by Clyde Snodgrass, bless his heart, to help summarize the parable of the growing of the seed as we close out our time together. He said, while people go about their daily routine, the kingdom is present and at work. Stop. Everybody stop right there. So that means when you throw the seed, you know, sometimes we have a tendency as pastors, and you may do this too, is we lean in a little too hard. Anybody done that before? You know, it's like you throw the seed and you're like standing over it. Come on. Come on. Anybody ever done that before? I planted stuff in my yard. You know, I planted a bunch of plants last year and I was doing that. I was like, come on. And this year they're like dead. You know, they just didn't do it. Frustrating. But sometimes we do that and we lean in too hard. But you see, this scripture is saying very clearly, it's saying he plants a seed, but he still raises up and he sleeps. And the seed still grows, and he doesn't know how it happened. And so he's saying here, while people go about their daily routines, the kingdom is present and at work, and God's harvest with his judgment will certainly follow. Humans do not bring in the kingdom. They are servants of the kingdom, not its cause. The parable here illustrates the proper attitude toward the kingdom and its eschatological harvest. Patience. 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 It will come when God's time is ripe. Confident despite appearance, because God is still at work, and comfort knowing that all is in God's hands. I don't know about you. That helps me. Particularly in a world that we live in today where you look around and it's chaos. We say that every Sunday. You hear me say it's chaos. It's nuts. You know, turn off the news. You know, political parties going crazy. And I'm not here to promote one or the other. I'm here to promote Jesus. And what I'm here to promote is that you, as a Christ follower, are a Christ follower first. I am so sick of this. I got to be honest with you. You know, we get so... forgive me, Charlie. I'm going to go political here. Okay, I'm not going political. I'm going anti-political. You as a Christian are a citizen of heaven. We have a civic duty to do here. There's no doubt about it. But you know what? The minute that you put up walls between you and someone on the other side, whatever other side that might be, you have failed to present Jesus over something that has no eternal consequence. Ouch! Over something that has no eternal consequence. People are dying and going to hell, and we're supposed to sow the seed. That is what's going to win the world over, not anything else. And when you don't see it working, it's not because God is asleep. It's because you are impatient. We got to remember what the Bible says. Going sidebar here. He says, God is not slow like some might think. He is patient because he doesn't want anyone to perish, but all to be saved. My friends, it's all in God's hands. Trust him. Just like that passage that we read early in Isaiah, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Glory be to God. God has ordained the proclamation of his word. And it's this means of his word which he will advance the kingdom of God in this world. And you and I must be patient as we sow the seed. We got to be patient as we wait for him to work in his own time. How many of you know your time is imperfect, but God's is? I'd rather God do what he wants to do when he wants to do it than me get ahead of him and, man, mess everything up. Anybody ever mess anything up in your life because you got ahead of God? You know what I'm talking about? Or you got ahead of, like, well, you know, he's not doing this. I'm going to go do it. You know, blah. You know, you run into a wall or whatever. It goes bad. We learn sometimes the hard way. Let's trust God. Be confident that he is going to work and he's going to do as he's promised because he has and he will. And be comforted, listen, by the fact, this is so important, by the fact that he is sovereign. Everybody do this. Overall, he is sovereign over all. Peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Amen? That's what it's all about. So what do? We sow the seed and we wait patiently on the Lord to do what he's going to do in his timing and in his purpose. We are to sow, we are to be lamps, but he is doing the work. He is doing the work. Trust him and have faith. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you, Lord, for the revelation of your word. And Lord, even the clarity by which you speak through it. I often am humored, Lord, by people who say, I'm just waiting for the Lord to speak, and they're waiting for some audible voice when you have provided your holy word for us to be able to look at every day, to memorize, to commit to memory, and to use in our own lives, Lord God. I pray this morning, Lord, that as we've heard this word, Lord, we would apply its teaching to our lives, being confident in what you, the God of this world, is doing in your own time and in your own purposes. I pray, Lord, we would find peace, that we would find peace in that as we work patiently for the kingdom as obedient servants, as we allow Jesus to live his life through ours. Lord, may we apply what we have heard for the glory of your namesake. And if there's anyone who's watching, Lord, or is here this morning and has not stepped into a personal relationship with you, Lord, I pray today they would hear something that would cause them to say, I want Jesus to live in me and to live through me. And Lord, it's so easy. All we've got to do is call out, confess, Jesus is Lord. Repent and turn away from who we were and toward you. And I pray that someone's life this morning would be changed. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen.